You're listening to Coach Narrow Chat, the premier English language podcast on Atletico Madrid and a part of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron. My guest on this edition of Coach Narrow Chat is Robert Walker. Rob is a staff writer at Into the Calderon, and he's here to talk all about the battle at Bay Arena from Tuesday, which Atletico won by 4-2, taking that advantage back to the Calderon next month and all but securing progression to a fourth consecutive Champions League quarterfinal. All talking points from that game will be discussed, plus a preview of a big league clash this weekend at the Calderon against Barcelona. High Liga? We'll see. All that and more after this.
Yeah. It's rough, man. They got to make it better for us.
Yeah, why isn't just excellent all over the place? Yeah,
we need an executive order on making Wi-Fi better at universities.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my thing.
We got to get the Google Fiber up in here.
Yeah, got to get that Google Fiber, man. It's the real deal. It's the realest.
It's a human right at this point, I think.
Absolutely, man. It's like the basic human right. It's not a privilege, it's a right.
Yeah, I need that. I need that so we can watch highlight videos.
I'm passionate about this shit.
Twice the speed, yeah.
So, that was a wild game on Tuesday.
Yeah, the Champions League sort of went on crack that day, didn't they?
Yeah, the entire, like, the first leg of, like, every tie was, like, on crack at some point.
Yeah, like, 4-2, and that wasn't even the most...
No, we had that fucking 5-3 at Man City. We had that 5-3 game, and then the previous week we had the PSG win, and then Madrid and Napoli played a 4-goal thriller, and Sevilla Leicester was wild at times.
Yeah, got Ranieri sacked.
Though. Yeah, insane. Even though the away goal got Ranieri sacked. Yeah, what do you think of that?
I mean, I think it's a little ridiculous. I mean, you know, even if he takes you down, he's kind of earned that.
Yeah, like, I've seen that a lot. I don't disagree with it. I think maybe from the club's point of view, they have a brand to protect, and they're hovering pretty close. I think they wanted to wait and see if they wanted Sevilla before sacking him. I mean, they got an away goal, which is basically a win.
Right. I mean, that's big for them to get an away goal, and that it was Jamie Vardy that got it, too. So
it's going
to
be hilarious if, like, fucking Nigel Pearson comes in, they win a 1-0 exactly. In the second leg, and they go to the quarterfinal. I will die of laughter.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Like, whoever comes into that job, what a crazy position. You have to take Leicester into a second leg of a Champions League knockout game. Good Lord.
God, I hope it's Nigel Pearson. I hope that Nigel comes back.
Just any, like, really boring English manager. It would just be hilarious.
Yeah.
I need that.
Yeah, that would be great to have in my life. And then the Europa League today was crazy. Spurs are out. Like, all the good Spanish teams but Celta are out.
That game, that hint Spurs game, was an absolute smash and grab. They had no chances, and they didn't deserve at all to get out of that game.
Yeah.
But, you know,
they got a shot like 25-5 or some shit.
It was ridiculous. Yeah. It was absolutely ridiculous.
Jesus. Yeah. Then and so Athletic are out. They lost to Apoel, and then who else? Villarreal are out because Roma thrashed them, and Celta got through on extra time.
Yeah, exactly. But Shakhtar, I thought they may have gotten through after that first leg. They're a good team. That was probably the best tie of this round.
Yeah, Celta went to Ukraine and did that, so kudos to them. Yeah. That's fantastic. Yeah.
And it's not even, I guess it's not in Shakhtar's normal stadium, because that's...
Because of the whole
thing.
Yeah, because the actual city of Donetsk is, like, under, like, a lot of peril, so they're playing, like, I think closer to, like, the Polish border, I think.
Yeah, their stadium's kind of like mildly in a war zone. So
they're only somewhat in a war zone. No risk.
No worries. We're still going on in the Europa League.
Yeah.
Don't worry, guys.
So we'll
all
talk
Brazilian players.
Yeah. So we'll talk about Leverkusen. We have a bunch to talk about there. And then we'll talk about Barcelona, because we're playing them this weekend. And, yeah, we got a question, so we'll answer that.
All right.
So you're ready?
I'm good to go.
Let's do it. All right, Rob. How's it going? You recovered from Tuesday?
I have. It was you know, from a first leg of a Champions League game, it doesn't get too much more exciting, you know, unless you're Monaco or Man City. So
yeah, and it was a 6-goal thriller, not usually put on the back burner in the Champions League, but it was on this day because Monaco and City played that under overwhelming game. Just 5-3, and El Tigre, he El Tigre'd, scoring twice and missing a penalty.
I know, given his good penalty record, I thought he was going to put that one away.
You can take his thing. You can take the player out of Atleti, but you can't take the you know Atleti out of the player. But no, he's always had a great penalty record. He has.
Yeah, he really has, and it's interesting. There was that stat that came out of all the penalties that were missed in Champions League knockout games, and of course on this match day, Atleti score one.
Yeah. So, go of figure. But yeah, bringing back to Atleti, 4-2 winners at Bayreuth in Leverkusen, and really all but through now to the last eight of the Champions League for the fourth year in a row. Generally, what were your thoughts on this game?
I thought it was a very good away performance against a good team who were kind of struggling, but if they had sort of taken them for granted, I think they could have gotten punished, but they didn't. They did a good job on them. It was unfortunate, one of the goals they conceded, but a really good performance, and four away goals, you can't really ask for too much more.
Yeah, the two goals conceded, not great, especially the second one, which we'll talk about all the goals, but getting four away goals is pretty, can't really complain about that. And it was I've come around on it being at the end when Gabby and Felipe picked up those yellow cards that will rule them out for the second leg. I've come around on that decision. It's pretty smart. So their books will be clean entering the quarterfinal, which it looks like Atleti are all but set to move on now, unless things just go horribly wrong next month in Madrid. 4-2 and those four away goals, it would take a 3-0 win for Leverkusen to advance.
Yeah, that's right. It would be a very. It's going to be a big job for them. I don't think they're going to be able to do it.
Yeah,
yeah, it was a good game.
I'm not sure they're capable. So let's dive right in. Let's start with the opening goal. Saul, boy, he just loves doing this against the against German teams, doesn't he?
Yeah, he may have a future in that league.
Yeah, it was this chipped pass from Gabby about the halfway line. Didn't think too much of it. Saul picks it up. Kevin Campbell, who's a really good midfielder, he executed a slide tackle that just was very poor. Then Alexander Dragovic, this poor guy, Dragovic got turned inside out as Saul just traipses his way into the box. And then Saul hits the curler. It may have deflected, but I don't think it was like a very significant deflection. It bent perfectly. Just curved right in past Bernd Leno, 1-0. Gorgeous goal.
A glorious, glorious strike from left foot from just inside the box. Really, really wonderful. Great goal.
Yep, and Atleti have never lost a game in which Saul has scored, and he scored the opener. I think he scored 5 Champions League goals. They've all been the opening goal.
Yeah, and he, you know, we've talked about him a bunch, not performing up to the standard that we became accustomed to last season this year, so it was good for him to get a big goal in the knockout round of the Champions League.
Yeah, he just looked a completely different player. In this game, the Champions League performances have been more consistent for him, as is the case for several Atletico players this season, as we've discussed. And in the first half, this was just tactically perfect from Atletico. They executed so well on the counterattack. The pace of Griezmann, Carrasco, Gamero just tore apart Leverkusen's defense. And then on the second goal, this was the perfect example on the second goal. It was a Koke long ball out of defense that Dragovic tried to clear, but he cleared it right to Kevin Gamero, who went on this mazy run with some fantastic dribbling. It drew Dragovic and Omer Toprak to one side. It left Griezmann unmarked, inexplicably, just driving through the middle. Gamero just hits him to his right, and Griezmann takes a powerful shot up and under the crossbar. His 13th Champions League goal for Atleti, most ever in club history.
Yeah, that was a very satisfying goal as well. I always appreciate when it goes off the crossbar.
Yeah.
Like you said, a great run from Gamero. A really, really good run.
Like, how do you leave Griezmann unmarked? That was my thing on this goal, was like, how fam, how do you not know he's coming up They're playing 4-4-2. The second striker is bound to be somewhere, and this guy is, I don't know, like one of the 10 best players in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you don't expect Griezmann to be making that late run into the box, I don't know what film they've been watching. So
yeah, their defense just got ripped to shreds. And again, this was tactically perfect from Atletico. Very few halves this season that were better than that one. Bayer Leverkusen had a lot of possession, around 60%. They finished over 60% for the game. But Atleti were fine with it. And they were just brutal on the counter in a way that they haven't been a lot of times this season, but they have been in the past. And it was great to see. And the second half, things got really crazy, though.
Yeah, and like you said, that's pretty much the ideal away performance in the Champions League. You don't need all the possession, and they just murder them on the counterattack. So
yeah, you're up 2-0 at halftime, so there wasn't a whole lot of temptation to keep your foot on the gas. But Leverkusen got right back into it just after halftime. Some overeager pressing outside the box. The right flank was exposed. Benjamin Henrichs took a cross, and Karim Bellarabi in his second game back slotted in. Pretty good goal there, 2-1, and Leverkusen were back in it, but not for long, as Atleti won a penalty, and I think everyone collectively gasped. It was like, oh no, how are Atletico going to miss this one? And this shouldn't have even been a penalty, though, because Dragovic fouled Gamero outside the box.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, too. I think the rules is somewhat, if it continues into the area, it can be a penalty, but it was a very borderline call.
I think the foul was clearly outside the box. Gamero dove into the box to make sure Willie Collin would call it, and he did. He won that bet. So Gamero steps up. We know Atletico's penalty record has been abysmal. He'd been practicing them of late, though. It was on the front cover of AS, I want to say, 10 days ago. In the aftermath of the second leg against Barcelona. So Gamero steps up, full of confidence. Bernd Leno goes to his right, and Gamero just smacks it down the middle, 3-1.
Yeah, he's just smashed it straight down the middle. So, you know, if it works for you, it works. So
this is where everyone should take their penalties down the middle.
Yeah, exactly. Until people start figuring out that that's what we do, then yeah, it's a good plan.
You just got to do it, because goalkeepers will go to one side. Down the middle until you start scoring them. But it wasn't over there. No, you thought it was, but it wasn't. About 10 minutes later, Kevin Volland, substitute, crossed for Chicharito, who has a great goal-scoring record against Atletico, 4 goals in 5 games entering Tuesday. It looked initially to me at full speed that the Mexican got a touch on it, like he just kind of feathered, you know, like a feathery touch into the net, but no. Miguel Angel Moya reached out for some reason to collect the cross, but he couldn't catch it. It deflected off Stefan Savic and in. And this wasn't even Savic's fault, but it was an own goal. It was Moya's goal, though.
Yeah, it was a very unlucky bounce for poor Savic. But like you said, I also thought it was a Chicharito goal at first, because he is such that sort of prototypical poacher sort of player, and he's always in and around the 6-yard box trying to poke in some loose chances. But nope, it was an unfortunate Savage own goal.
No, he had gained position about 6 yards out. It looked like he had taken a touch on Volland's cross, but no, I don't know why Moya reached out to collect that cross. He wasn't going to collect it. It was always going to be out of his grasp, and things got really nervy, because the hosts then kind of took over for the next 15 or so minutes, coming close a couple times. Simeone shuffled the pack, bringing on Thomas Partey, bringing on Fernando Torres, bringing on Angel Correa. And part of this was to prepare for Barcelona at the weekend, because part of the thinking was, okay, Atleti have 3 away goals. Even if it finishes 3-2, that would still mean Leverkusen would have to score twice at the Calderon and keep a clean sheet in order to go through. So part of it was, okay, this game, we're just trying to salt this away. But another part of it was, okay, we have a massive game this weekend back in La Liga. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that completely. But it ended up working out pretty well for him.
It did. Fernando Torres isn't even on the pitch for 10 minutes. It's essentially his first touch off a throw-in. Koke with a quick pass to Shime Versalico, who played fantastic. Versalico was great. And Versalico hits this wicked cross into Torres, who loses Omer Toprak and heads in, takes a bounce in, 4-2, tie over, just about.
Yeah, I'd say so. It was, as you say, a fantastic cross and a really good header as well, down and to the far post. So really good goal as well, and that just killed off the game, basically.
Yep, wasn't as much about power as it was about placement, and Torres just Absolutely. Placed this where Leno could not reach it.
Yep, for sure. And Leno's a good keeper, but he shipped four goals.
Yeah, I want to make that point. Leno was one of the best goalkeepers on the continent. He has been for a few years. This was the first time he conceded four all season. He was really let down by his defense. Dragovic and Toprak both had just mares out there.
Yeah, they were really poor. Dragovic especially.
Yeah.
But as you say, Leno has been very good and is still quite young for a goalkeeper. 24.
Yeah, he's 24. So
yeah, he could have 10 more years in him of being a high quality keeper. So
yeah, and in the tie 2 years ago, Leno was fantastic. He only shipped one goal. It was to Mario Suarez off a massive deflection. This was much different.
Yeah, they just ruthless. Battered him on the counterattack. And when you create good chances like that, you know, there wasn't much he could do about a lot of the chances, really.
Yeah, Atleti were outpossessed 62-38, outshot 14-11. Outshot again, but again, just so brutal and ruthless in when they had possession, just absolutely burned the defense.
Yeah, they had better chances as well, and more of their chances were from inside the box as well. A lot of Leverkusen were just shooting from range. They're sort of low percentage shots. But yeah, Adelaide did a great job in this game, spot on tactically.
They did. And at the end, mentioned it at the outset, Gabby and Felipe Luis both will miss the return leg on March 15 as they received yellow cards, taking them to the limit and meriting a one-game suspension. But it's for the best, I think, because it'll make them free for the quarterfinal against Real Madrid.
Yes, exactly.
You know it, and I know it.
Yeah, well, but I think you're right. I think it was probably the smart thing to do.
It was.
So, you know, we'll lose them in the next leg, but as far as we're concerned, we should be able to get through without those two.
Indeed. So that was that. And some talking points from this game. This was the first time Atleti scored four in a Champions League game since the 4-0 win over Astana in last year's group stage. Oli Torres, who now can't get off Porto's bench, scored in that game.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, he didn't play against Juve. It's pretty
sensational to score that many goals away from home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When was the last time they even scored four away in the Champions League? I can't remember.
Probably even further back than that, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm not going to go digging through the history books right now, but yeah. Four in a game for the first time in about a year and a half, and four away from home for the first time in I don't know when. If anyone can tell us, let us know. But this was very much a Quique Sanchez-Flores or Gregorio Manzano performance. It was I wrote this in my random observations post after the game. It was extremely open. It was chaotic. It was out of control. You got the feeling Atleti lost control and were just winging it in the second half. Because despite living on the counterattack in the first half, Atleti got their tactics right and were clearly in command of the game.
Yeah, that's right. And they handled it quite well. I mean, they held on at certain points. They could have conceded maybe one more, but they held on very well and looked pretty solid.
Yeah, a 3-3 rather than a 4-2 is much more nervy entering the second leg. But no, this is, despite the chaos, there's a certain comfort in it. And it's a much different dynamic than what we've come to expect from Cholismo. It seems like Cholo is starting to embrace the chaos a little bit, especially lately. We started to see this against Barcelona in the Copa del Rey in the second half of the first leg of that tie, when Atleti just absolutely battered Barcelona, could only get one goal to show for it, continued on that path in the second leg, only got one more goal to show for it, put up three against Celta, put up four against Sporting Gijón, and put up four here. It's become a lot more noticeable lately.
Yeah, it has. They've been scoring a lot more goals, which is always appreciated. And I've been very pleased with their performances of late. I think they've been turning it around. And this game against Barcelona at the weekend is going to be a big test to see how much they've actually improved.
Yes, it is. Now, Simeone got away with a couple things in this game. For one, he started Miguel Angel Moya instead of Jan Oblak, who is now fit. He was in the squad, ready to go. But Simeone chose to go with the man who's been keeping goal for about 2 months. That It didn't backfire. It came close a little. It came a little close, but it seems as if the plan. Well, I think all along, the plan may have been to have Oblak and Godin ready to face Barca at the weekend. That may have been the plan all along, because Atleti knew on some level that if they scored in the away leg, then they would be just fine for the second leg.
Yeah, that's right. And there's no reason to risk him really in this game. Moyá has been decent, but he's sort of shown that he can. He's prone to a bit of a clanger every once in a while, but it'll be good to have Oblak back. Like, but he's been very solid in his absence.
Like, I'm a Moyá apologist. I think he's a very sound, experienced goalkeeper, but he's not Jan Oblak. He's not. Oblak is an elite goalkeeper, and Moyá's made several mistakes in the past couple weeks that have started to cost Atletico goals.
Yeah, exactly. Especially in the most recent games. When he first came into the side, he was doing a lot better. But he's been solid. And, you know, that's what you have to expect out of a backup goalkeeper. It's a difficult position to have a solid player in.
Yep. And he's out of contract in the summer. Remains to be seen what's going to happen there. But at any rate, it'll be good to have Oblak back. Fernando Torres is on fire. Once again, 4 goals and 5 across all competitions. Scored that delightful header about five minutes from time. And this segues kind of nicely into our question for this edition of the pod. Yay.
Hooray.
this is from, let me get his handle. Come on, tweet deck. This is from @SeanGWalker. Hi, Sean. We'll have you on the pod again soon. Who should partner Griezmann for the rest of the season? Or should it alternate regularly?
Well, it's interesting because Torres and Gamero have both kind of picked up in terms of form. Obviously, Gamero got the hat trick, and Torres has been on a nice little scoring streak, so it's a good problem to have. I think Torres probably suits partnering Griezmann better, but, you know, I think Gamero is useful in some situations as well.
Yeah, this is great because there's competition right now. And it's amazing how quickly things can change in football. Because two weeks ago, we're out here just like slamming Gamero for not really doing much of anything, and now he played sensational. He was sensational on Tuesday, scored that hat trick at the weekend at El Molinón, and it seems like maybe he has turned a corner here. So it's good to have that competition. If I'd let you have that competition, it's great, and it's something that the striker position hasn't had there in a few years, too many years. For the big games, I think, until proven otherwise, I think Simeone will prefer Torres in some manner, or until Gamero cools off. Right now, if Gamero keeps this up, he's going to keep starting. His chemistry with Griezmann is good. It's very, very good. French Connection, they're called that for a reason. And they both scored on Tuesday, and I think until Gamero cools off, Cholo's going to run him out there.
Probably so, but given Torres's record against Barcelona, you wouldn't be totally surprised if he started.
That's true.
This coming weekend.
Given Torres's record and the different characteristics he offers as kind of a complement to Griezmann, rather than Gamero and Griezmann aren't identical, but they're similar players. They have similar profiles and characteristics. Torres complements Griezmann in different ways because he's a different type of striker. He's a different type of forward. And I think in the big games where Atleti really want to grind it out, then Torres works. But in games that are more open, Atleti are fine saying, hey, we're just going to run you to death on the counterattack, that fits Gamero more.
Yeah, exactly. And it's good to have strikers that have different sort of characteristics. And at this point in his career, Torres is an extremely valuable veteran to have.
Yeah, I kind of think they should alternate for now.
Yeah,
and see where it goes. And tough to say what's going to happen in, you know, if we get into the quarterfinals or even the semifinals. That's nothing too far ahead. If we really get into the business end of the campaign, maybe someone will stand out. Maybe it's Gamero who's standing out for sure at that point. But for now, alternate him.
Well, and they both have very good impact off the bench. So you're not really concerned about leaving one on the bench. You can bring them on and they'll have a good impact as well. So, right. Very good problem to have.
Right. And before the season started, I kind of advocated for a 4-3-3 with Torres in the middle and Griezmann off to the left side and Gamero off to the right side. Simeone doesn't want to do that, and that's fine. I understand that. Especially the later you get into the season, the less you want to experiment like that.
Yeah.
It's always good to try in FIFA, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it you could see in certain situations how that will work, but he's sort of married to the formation they're playing now, even if it is sort of very weirdly lopsided in terms of where people are playing. Like, Saul, Koke, and Gabby are sort of almost a three when, you know, one of them is supposed to be a winger, but isn't.
And you see Carrasco coming up top a little bit more. It looks more like a 4-3-3 at times, but it reverts to the two banks of four.
Yeah, that's right. And a lot of the times, Carrasco and Griezmann are sort of level with each other in terms of going forward.
Right.
And Gamero was the furthest forward, generally.
And that's something new that has appeared, especially as Carrasco's been given more of a free role. Now, recently, you wrote a column at Into the Calderon titled Improvement or Another False Dawn? With a question mark. And essentially, in that column, you asked whether Atleti's recent play was, another instance of false hope, or if they really had turned the corner. How did this win impact your argument in that column?
Well, it made me more convinced that this is somewhat of a turnaround, because after the loss, the second leg at the Camp Nou, Simeone did seem somewhat pleased in defeat that he had somewhat recaptured what he thought was his best team and the best way of playing. And since then, they've been on an extremely good run, scoring a lot of goals, granted conceding a few along the way. But, you know, I'm becoming more convinced. I think this weekend's match will go a long way towards proving where exactly the side are at and what they need to do going forward.
Right. And like I said a little earlier, it seems that Cholo, maybe begrudgingly, is becoming a little more tolerant of conceding a goal or two, because Atleti are putting so many goals in the net right now. And these are some of the trade-offs you have when you play a more open style, when you have the pacey players that Atletico have, when you have the kind of players like Griezmann, Carrasco, Gamero, even Correa. When you have these players at your disposal, and they're not always going to want to track back and work hard in the block. They're just not going to want to. They are at their best when they are moving forward, when they are pushing forward and just bludgeoning teams with their pace and with wave after wave of shots and dribbles and passes, through balls and whatnot. And there are certain trade-offs when you play that style, and Simeone did not want to make those trade-offs earlier this season. Maybe now he kind of does.
Yeah, I think he sort of realizes that he may have to, given the squad composition. I mean, it's quite different to the title-winning team, because that side was chock-full of hardworking, sort of warrior-type players, and this one is sort of more creative, fluid players, and they fit this more attacking style, even if it does mean giving up more goals in the process.
Yeah, the team that won the league, just a bunch of bastards. Really, you go to war with
insane.
Them. And they could score the goals, too. They, in the league that season, they averaged 2 goals a game, and they could put up a bunch of goals, too. But yeah, those teams were just a bunch of bastards.
Oof. Amazing teams, but soldiers. The reality is this is a very different side to that one. A lot of those players are gone now, and, you know, some still remain, but you have to play the style that fits the squad best, and I think this fluid style does that.
Yeah, you can now see 6 months into the season, you know, two-thirds into the season, that fluidity is showing up a bit more now. And yeah, I mean, Leverkusen scored twice. Atleti only conceded twice in the group stage on the whole over those 6 games. But you'll take that, because you scored 4 away goals, and it would take a monumental collapse, which is not going to happen at the Calderon next month. It would take a monumental collapse to blow this.
Yeah, exactly. And the games they have before that aren't ridiculously difficult. Couple away games in there, and Valencia, who may or may not be resurgent, but still, they have a great chance of going through.
Yeah, Valencia. Yeah, does it amaze you like it amazes me that Real Madrid just refused to lock up La Liga?
Yeah, they just can't do it. They can't step on its neck, can they?
Like, this is kind of apropos of nothing right now, but yeah, they have had the league on ice for like 3 months, and they're just kind of coasting.
Yeah, and I thought it was a good point made in that game that if they had played this game when it was supposed to be played back in December, the two players that scored for Valencia wouldn't have been on the team.
That's so true. Yes, because Oriana and Zaza just came in the last window.
Exactly. So it's just hilarious. And Simeone Zaza scores a wonder goal against Fear. You know something's probably a little bit wrong.
God, that but, Zaza you know. Goal, yeah. Yeah, that's the same Zaza who took that penalty at the Euros.
The worst penalty I've ever seen.
I have a Juventus fan friend who I texted after Zaza scored that. He's like, yeah, I know. He wouldn't have done that for us.
No, yeah, I don't particularly like Zaza a whole lot. He was really terrible at West Ham as well.
Yeah, he's very bad.
He's not so good.
So in the run-up to the second leg, Atleti are home to Barcelona. That's this weekend. We'll talk about that next. They go to Riazor to take on Deportivo. Could be mildly difficult. Home to Valencia, which should be a win. Then away to Granada, who... You never know. At this point in the season, you don't know which Granada you're going to get. And then you return to Madrid to face Bayer Leverkusen.
Yeah, those are three teams coming up that, obviously outside Barcelona, that are in the relegation area. Not next necessarily other than Granada in the bottom three, but they're all sort of in and around it.
And this is definitely looking ahead at this point. But after the second leg of the round of 16... Atleti hosts Sevilla in what could be a massive game.
They'll still be battling for third place. Where that has huge implications.
Yeah, those two will still be battling it out for third and fourth place at that point. So, yeah, bunch of big games coming up, but maybe none bigger right now, at least, than that Barcelona game, which we will talk about after this. Ah, La Liga this weekend. Atleti, Barca, again, the third time in February. Tired of seeing these guys.
Yeah, we played them too much.
Tired of seeing them. So, yeah, Barcelona a bit wobbly of late. That terrible, horrible, tragic result in Paris, followed by a very unconvincing display against Leganés, in which Lionel Messi needed to score a rocket of a penalty to win that game and keep Barca in second place. How are you feeling going into this one?
Actually... quite confident. It's very different to the two times we faced them in the Copa del Rey just a few weeks ago. We were the sort of team on the downturn. We had some bad results, and those were tough games. But now it seems like it's sort of flipped. Luis Enrique is under a lot of pressure, and it's going to be tough for them.
Did Atleti break Barcelona in that Copa del Rey tie?
I really hope so. It'd be amazing, but I don't think so. I think PSG may have
PSG did.
A few their teeth out, but you know, they're in a weird spot now. Messi's had to save them a ton of times this season.
Yeah, and I mentioned that before on the podcast that I've had with the Barca Blaugrana guys, that this is Messi dependencia on a level that they shouldn't have anymore. Because Messi 5 years ago and Messi now, you have Luis Suarez and Neymar in your team, and Messi's had to cover up for them at times. He's definitely had to cover up for that midfield, which is just full of holes, and a defense which is still leaky.
Yeah, they have some problems in that team. It's surprising. You wouldn't expect for a team with that front three to be struggling as much as they are, especially in scoring goals.
It's the midfield. That midfield has just been so out of whack. They've lacked fitness. They've lacked consistency. It's just been so weird to see that. And Atleti are probably the last team Barcelona want to see right now. I would hazard a guess.
Tough for them.
I'd hazard a guess to say that. And at the Calderon, although Barcelona have had success at the Calderon in past years, just not in the Champions League, but in La Liga, certainly they have. So,
yeah. Well, and I did the aforementioned column. I cheekily mentioned that this will be their second to last visit to the Calderon. So you know, we won't be there for the second time. But you know, it's all right.
It is cheeky. Well done. So yeah, it is the confidence that kills you in these situations, Rob. But I would feel kind of confident too. I mean, Atleti are kind of on a high right now. They've scored a bunch of goals in the last few games. That Copa del Rey tie, this Copa del Rey semifinal, really, I think it woke them up, and it inspired them. Simeone has talked a couple times about, and the players have as well, about getting Atleti back, getting their Atleti back, taking games to where they're most comfortable, continuing to live partido a partido, game by game. Atleti are riding high right now. They're second in the form table in La Liga, whereas Barcelona... No, let me start that again. I mean, Barcelona and Atletico Madrid are the top two teams in the form table right now in La Liga, but Atletico are playing better.
Yeah, definitely. Barcelona, some of their results don't really match the performances in those games. And coming up on a tough game against Atleti after getting smashed in the Champions League, they're going to be in a tough spot. And especially after Real Madrid drop points, they're going to be itching to move ahead of them, if just for a short time.
Yeah, so. And Madrid could drop more points this weekend as they go to La Cerámica and play Villarreal, who are fresh off advancing to the last 16 of the Europa League.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, that's, are they? Yeah, they... Well, they won the first leg 4-0, and then they lost to Roma today 1-0, but they already won the first leg.
I thought Roma won the first leg, didn't they?
God damn it, you're right.
I was like, wait, did they score a hat trick?
I got that mixed up. Let me start that again. Whoops.
No worries. That's what I'm here for.
it's been a hectic week.
Understandable.
And Madrid could drop more points this weekend as they travel to La Cerámica to face Villarreal, who... May have a bone to pick in La Liga, as that's going to be their sole focus, as they have been eliminated from the Europa League 4-1 by Roma.
Yes, and they're one of the better defensive teams in the league. They're still the best in terms of goals conceded.
15 so conceded in 23 games.
It's going to be a very difficult game for Real Madrid, unless, that is, they capitulate like they did against Roma in the Europa League. So
yes, and Edin Dzeko is not here to score a hat trick this time.
No. Not for Real Madrid, not this time.
But in the second leg, Santos Borre, who's on loan from Atleti, he scored Villarreal's only goal, so creditable win for them, but of course not nearly enough after that horrid first leg display. High Liga, will we have Liga after if Villarreal take points off Real Madrid?
I think we might, actually, especially, well, I don't necessarily want to, because that maybe would implicate Barcelona got all 3 points. At the Calderon, but... No, maybe not.
If Atletico win, Madrid and Barcelona both drop points. And who does Sevilla have this weekend? Oh, Sevilla have the derby against Real Betis, and those are always fun games.
There's some big games this weekend. Yes. This weekend will really show what the top four is going to be looking like towards the end of the season. And
yeah.
You can never rule out a Real Madrid drama queen collapse towards the end of the season, so...
You can't. Right now, it's kind of looking like that, which is kind of surprising to me because, again, they've had this league on ice for a long time. Let's say Villarreal take points this weekend. Let's say Atletico win. Let's say Sevilla and Betis draw, just for the sake of argument. We will have a Liga, but is that necessarily good for Atleti?
I mean, I think league competition, in my opinion, is always good when it's tense at the top. It may take their focus off the Champions League.
But that's the concern.
If you can compete in the main league, you know, go for it, I'd say.
With the resources that Atleti have diverted toward winning the Champions League, you know, and reaching a third final in 4 years and actually winning the damn thing this time, you have to think that if La Liga is reopened for business, Atleti will see an opportunity and they'll lunge for it, and that might not be the best thing as we – we're closing in on the month of March, the business end of the season. That may not be the best thing. I'm not advocating for like a tank or anything here, but it's just something to think about if these results do occur this weekend.
Yeah, and then on the flip side, I guess you could say if Real Madrid and Barcelona, who could both be potentially going through tough spells now, if they slip a little bit, then Atleti could swoop in and sort of rise up the table in a way that we definitely didn't expect a few weeks ago.
Yeah, weeks ago it looked like they were going to struggle for fourth. Now they have a little bit of a cushion over Sociedad, and Sociedad play Las Palmas on Friday, which that's away at Gran Canaria, which could be a difficult game for them, so they could drop more points there.
Yeah, they haven't been looking good in recent weeks, but Las Palmas have also been on a bit of a slide. They lost to Malaga pretty poorly.
Yeah, they've won only once in the last six, but they're very strong at home. Just one loss this season.
Very tough place to go to
Sevilla and in the Copa to Atletico.
Yeah, so it's going to be fascinating.
And yeah.
Keep your eyes glued to the TV this weekend for sure.
This is a potentially pivotal weekend in La Liga. Or it could just be a weekend with, you know, Madrid winning and Barcelona winning, Sevilla winning, and, you know, it's all back to normal.
Yeah, exactly. Then we're just holding on to that fourth spot for dear life again. But let's hope that doesn't happen.
What is your prediction for the weekend then? What is your prediction for Sunday?
I'm gonna be optimistic and say 2-0.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You are confident.
I'm going for it.
You are going in. All right, Rob. I respect the confidence.
Why not?
I like that. I am going to go with... Oh, this is tough. I'm not going 2-0. I'm not that confident. I'm going to go with 1-1.
I think that's probably fair.
1-1.
I just think that after those two Copa del Rey games, which were very contentious and hard-fought, I think they may have a little bit of a bone to pick at sure. against Barcelona. So,
and honestly, 1-1 isn't too bad of a result. A victory, though, and the top four is wide open again. Atleti would close to within 3 points of Barcelona. They could get second place, and oh my god, I can't feel my hands.
Exactly. Then we're freaking out.
Yeah.
Then we're like, oh my god, can it actually happen again?
It's like a gnat on crack. You know, we're just totally freaking out here.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the old
this year. Oh my gosh.
Like the old Chappelle Show skit. Hey, you got any more of those second place finishes?
Yeah, exactly. We will have it at this point. But it'll be interesting going towards this tail end of the season. Bale's back for Real Madrid.
Yeah,
it's all kicking off.
Yeah, and the weirdest thing about that loss to Valencia was that Zidane had his first choice 11 out there for like the entire second half, and they couldn't score.
Yeah, and they were huffing and puffing and just and. Not a very good Valencia team who've been terrible this season, but they made it through with Mangala.
Yes, they did. your favorite central defender.
Oh yes, the number one in the world.
Yeah, he is your favorite. What else, Rob? Anything from any Europa League, Champions League observations?
Let's see. Champions League was. It was interesting. I guess we could talk briefly about the sensational Falcao goal, one of our former friends.
His second goal was sensational. Oh, it was so good to see him do that. He hasn't done that in so long. Just tore apart City's defense.
He loves a good chip, doesn't he?
Yes, I mean, he does.
Really wonderful. Really wonderful. And it's good to see him back to his best form because, you know, he had a tough spell with injuries there and those weird loan spells to the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, good for him.
I'm sure it felt good for him to score in England, too. So he did that. And then Aguero did really well. I think Aguero scored a brace in that game, too.
Yeah, he did well. It's strange that people, for like a few weeks, were talking about, like, oh, Gabriel Jesus, he's better than Aguero. It's like, have you forgotten who Sergio Aguero is?
Yeah.
Like, it was a little bit ridiculous.
He may have betrayed Atletico, but he's still a world-class striker.
Yeah, there's no denying that.
Yeah. I think City are probably going to go through, even though with the three away goals, I mean, they put up five. I mean, tough for Monaco.
What I hope the second leg is just as exciting. That's all I can hope for, really.
Yeah. God, that was 8-goal thriller. People expected this to be crazy, but maybe not that crazy.
Yeah, definitely so not that open. Crazy.
Like, to me, there's only two ties that are really still up for debate in the last 16. It's Benfica and Dortmund, and then Sevilla and Leicester.
Yeah.
And Leicester just fired his manager.
Right, so we'll be seeing someone weird, presumably. Taking Leicester and bringing Sevilla to the King Power Stadium, so that'll be fun.
Nigel Pearson.
Come on, Nigel. You know you want the job. Just don't bring your son with you this time.
You know you want it back.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Yeah. The Europa League craziness was that Lyon put up 7 on AZ Alkmaar today and finished 11-2 on aggregate.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
I don't think Lacazette scored in this game either.
Oh, yeah. I saw something linking Atleti to him today, so that was a thing.
Yeah, Lacazette was linked last year, too. A deal couldn't get a deal done. Griezmann and Lacazette would have been an interesting pairing.
Yeah, I mean, Lacazette's been linked to every club in the entire universe at this point.
But, yeah, he was on the bench in this game. He didn't even start. He didn't score.
They didn't need him. Didn't even need him.
Good Lord. Yeah.
Yeah.
Must be nice.
Shakir scored a hat trick, yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. And then Rostov, Atleti's stern Russian opponents in the group stage, they are through to the last 16 of the Europa League after playing out a 1-1 draw with Sparta Prague.
Yeah, they were good. They beat Bayern Munich in the group stage, didn't they?
Yeah, I'm telling you, Rostov are not a bad team. And people thought they were just a walkover. Like, no, they played Atleti hard twice. Could have gotten a draw out of that game at the Calderon. No, they won the first leg 4-0, and this finished 1-1, so 5-1 in aggregate. But no, Rostov were tough in the group stage, and they are on their way to the last 16 of the Europa League. So kudos to them.
Yeah, they have a good chance of going fairly far in it. There's still some kind of weaker teams left in the competition, so they could have some success, especially now with Bilbao out and Spurs.
Yeah, Spurs. So much Spursing.
Yes, they are the masters of it, and no one ever comes close. So, especially at Wembley.
Yeah, at Wembley. That was a great idea, lads.
Yeah, look forward to them playing all their home games there next season.
Yeah, they won't win one. What else? What else we got, Rob? Anything else?
I think that might be it.
All right, time for the sign-off message, which is like my third favorite part of the program.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank my guest, Rob Walker.
Pleasure as always.
You can follow Rob on Twitter at Trappin. That's T-R-A-U-P-P-I-N. You can follow me on Twitter at J.B. Barron. That's J-B-B-E-R-E-N. Follow the blog Into the Calderon on Twitter at Into the Calderon. And like us on Facebook. We got some fire content going up on Facebook.
Yes, for the exciting weekend that comes.
It's gonna be flames, y'all. You can listen and subscribe to all new. You can subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colts Narrow Chat on the following platforms: iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. You can find us on all of those platforms. Leave a rating and a review on iTunes, and that really helps us out. And that's it for me. So thanks y'all for listening. We'll catch you on the next edition of Colts Narrow Chat. Adios.
Goodbye.